Welcome to the Shiur in Targum Parshas Shoftim. The Shiur this evening, sponsored by Susan Myers, and, marking the yard site tomorrow night of her brother, Norman Lewis Myers, Nachman Aryeh ben Meir Halevi. Also by Hilda Reuben Epstein, marking the upcoming yard site of her father, Carl Schneider. The Neshavos should have an aliyah, should see much nachas ruach from the Torah mitzvahs of Ma'asim Tovim that the families are involved in. The Parshan Perek Yud Ches speaks about avoiding the practices of the non-Jews who inhabited Eretz Yisrael prior to the Jewish conquest of Eretz Yisrael. So we're told in Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Yud, Lo yimotzei b'cha mavir b'no vito bo'esh, there should not be found among you somebody who causes his son or daughter to pass through the fire, the worship of Molech. Kosem ksamim, anyone who involves himself in sorcery, you shouldn't have any sorcerers. Ma'onein u'menachesh, again, different types of divination. We won't get into the exact definition right now. U'mechashef, there should not be found among you a mechashef, again, somebody who's a witch, a warlock, a sorcerer in some kind of way. V'chover chover. And there shouldn't be found among you a chover chover. What's a chover chover? So the Rishonim over here give different definitions as to what this practice is. It's some kind of occult practice, but what exactly is it? So Rashi over here writes, based on the Gemara, the Sifri, Shemitzareif nechashim o akrabim o sha'or chayos lomakom echad. He causes various snakes or scorpions or other wild, dangerous animals to come to one place. This interpretation, again, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin and the Sifri, is looking at the word chaver as similar to the word chibur, to co-join things, to bring things together. So in other words, the focus of Rashi is that you're bringing together various dangerous animals or creatures which are going to cause problems. How exactly are you bringing them together? So Rashi in Masechta Sanhedrin Dav Samiches, explains that it's through sorcery. In other words, you have some kind of magical incantation that you know, that I guess is the magical equivalent of a dog whistle, right? You know, it's a snake whistle, a scorpion whistle, whatever you do, to bring them all together. So in other words, you're bringing them together in a magical, sorcery-like kind of way. It's interesting, the Yonos ben Uziel seems to be working off the same Gemara, but interpreting it in a way that's different than the way Rashi and the Gemara and Sanhedrin does. The Yonasan ben Uziel writes that chover chover is translated as umechabrin ve'osrin chivin ve'akrabin v'chominei richshin. You should stay away from being mechaber, co-joining, ve'osrin, and tying together snakes and scorpions and all types of insects or, you know, crawly creatures. So, you know, the Targum Yonos ben Uziel, again, seems to be working off the same Gemara and Sifri that Rashi is quoting. You know, he talks about the snakes and the scorpions and being mechaber them and bringing them together. But he adds the word ve'osrin and tying them together. So in other words, it seems like the Yonos ben Uziel is saying, chover chover doesn't simply mean that you gather in these dangerous animals. It means that you're literally tying them. You're, you know, mechaber them. You're putting them together in a literal sense. Now, what exactly is that all about? So that would seem to be some kind of magical occult practice. Again, that, you know, if I tie snakes and scorpions together and say some magic words, you know, something voodoo-like is going to happen. Again, I shouldn't tell you what it is because you shouldn't go home and do it, right? You know, but don't try this at home, right? This, you know, no actual snakes or scorpions were harmed
in the preparation of the shir. You know, but it seems like the Yonasan ben Uziel is working off the same Maimar Chazal, but again, giving it a slightly different twist than the way Rashi explains in Sanhedrin. By the way, Rashi over here is somewhat vague as to the manner in which you're bringing together these snakes and scorpions. Shemitzarif nechashim or akravim ashar chayus l'mokom echad. You co-join snakes and scorpions and other types of animals into one place. How do you do that? By magic incantations? By literally taking them up? You know, taking these buckets of snakes and scorpions and dumping them into one place? It's not quite clear from Rashi, at least here, what you're doing. Although, again, it would seem reasonable that Rashi on Chumash agrees with Rashi on Sanhedrin, you know, that the manner in which you're bringing them together is some kind of magical incantation. The Ibn Ezra over here writes, what's chover chover? Eile ha'omrim shi'ichabru hashedim. This refers to people who have the ability to bring demons together, right? Again, a slightly different interpretation, but the same basic idea that the word chaver in this pasuk is related to the word chibur, a joining, a bringing together of various different elements. Now, what are these elements? Maybe snakes, maybe scorpions, maybe demons, you know, depending on which interpretation you're following over here. In what sense?
That the person performing this act has to have an inherent skill in order to do that, as opposed to Rashi being more broad, like you take buckets and you scoop them together. There's no necessarily indication of an inherent skill. You're doing something.
Yeah. Okay, again, Rashi over here is a little unclear. Rashi in Sanhedrin says that you're also doing this with some kind of incantation.
So it has to be like with Dibor, according to Rashi.
Yeah.
At least, so if you use the flute like someone, you know, like a secular holiday.
Yeah, right, maybe. Maybe. In other words, you know, if you can do this because you're the Pied Piper, are you able, is that considered to be a violation of Chover Chover? Rashi is a little bit ambiguous over here. I mean, clearly, you know, according to the Ibn Ezra, I don't think you can get Shadim together in one room, you know, with a flute. I don't really know. But, you know, that's probably some kind of magical incantation that he's talking about. But either way, the Ibn Ezra, Rashi, the Yonasan ben Uziel, they're all, you know, translating this word Chover Chover as being mechaber, making a chibur, you know, making a co-joining, a convention, you know, of various different, you know, dangerous kinds of elements.
Rabbi,
yeah?
It would be for the purpose, if it's done for magical purposes, since you're doing it with destructive animals, whatever you want to call them, then it could be that doing it for the, and if it's some kind of a, you know, magical thing, that they're doing it for the purpose of hurting somebody.
Yeah. I mean, clearly if they hurt somebody, that's also a problem. But even if you call them together and they just, they fabren, you know, that's also a problem, right? The Targum Unculus over here is an interesting translation of a chover chover. He writes, virotein riton. So you say, what does that mean? Right? So virotein riton means, and somebody who's lochesh lachash, who whispers an incantation. Any kind of whispering an incantation is chover chover. So what does he mean by that? So I guess one way to interpret it is that he's saying the same thing as Rashi or the Ibn Ezra, meaning, you know, what is this incantation that you are whispering? You're whispering some incantation to bring together, you know, wild and dangerous creatures, you know, snakes, scorpions, demons, you know, what have you. But it's Iker Chosem and Asefer. In other words, the Targum Unculus doesn't actually say what the nature of the incantation is. According to the Targum Unculus, you get the impression that whispering an incantation, let's say for rain, you know, or thunder or lightning or anything, would be included in the chover chover. In other words, it's not limited to the bringing together of these dangerous creatures. It's any kind of incantation. If that's the case, how does that flow from the words v'chover chover? According to everything we've seen so far, you know, the Gemara, the Sifri, the Rashi, the Yonasan ben Uziel, the Ibn Ezra, the common denominator is that the person is doing something to bring together, lechaber, he's being mechaber, he's co-joining, these destructive forces. But if it simply means an incantation, a whispered incantation, where does that fit into the words v'chover chover? I don't know. I'll put out the following, and again, if you don't like it, money back at the end of the shir. But perhaps the Targum Yonasan understands, the Targum Onkelos rather understands, that one whispers with a friend. In other words, the act of whispering is something you do with somebody that you're close with. First of all, you know, you share, whispering is usually sharing secrets. You share secrets with a friend, not with stama person. And the very act of whispering is mechaber. It brings close the two people who are sharing the whisper. If I whispered to you, it means we have to lean in close to one another. So maybe that's how the Targum Onkelos understands. V'chover chover means doing something which one would normally only do with a friend, with a chaver, and doing something which itself brings the two people in question closer to one another. A suggestion that maybe that's what he means.
According to that, how would you exclude for normal whispering between friends, which is obviously not intended to be a...
Right, right. No, so I don't think the... You know, I don't think there's a hava mina that, just whispering stuff. But in other words, even in Hebrew, the word lachash, you know, means a whisper, but also means an incantation, right? So, what kind of, once you translate v'chover chover literally as one who whispers a whisper, the implication is a whisper in the context of an incantation, a lachash meaning an incantation, you know, as opposed to just... meet me at the pizza store after Ma'ariv tonight, you know, kind of whisper, that sort of thing. Pasuk goes on to say that one is also not allowed to be shoel ov v'yidoni. You should not consult or seek guidance from an ov or a yidoni. Ov and yidoni are both terms for types of individuals who have the power or claim to have the power to be able to communicate with the dead or to be able to communicate with, you know, the celestial realms. How exactly does this work to be shoel ov yidoni? So Rashi over here, based on the Gemara, writes v'shoel ov zemach shefus sheshmo pisum umedaber mishechyo. It's a strange kind of witchcraft where the person speaks out of his armpit. He causes the dead to appear as if the dead individual was appearing out of his armpit. The yidoni, that's the ov. What's the yidoni? Machnis etzem chaya shishma yadua lesoch piv. The sorcerer takes the bone of an animal. The animal's name is yadua, and he places it into his mouth, hence the word yidoni. Yidoni means the one who knows how to manipulate the yadua bone. Umedaber ho'etzem ayudei machshefus. And by using witchcraft and sorcery, it appears as if the bone is speaking and is, you know, conveying secrets, you know, from the next world. These two definitions are based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Samechei Omid Beis, which defines, you know, what ov and yidoni actually mean. Take a look in the Targum Onkelos. He gives interesting definitions of ov and yidoni, the interesting translations. He says, v'sho'al bibidin, you're not allowed to be shoel, to seek the advice of bidin. That's the way he translates ov. So the Mefarshim over here explain that Bidin, this is the Nefesh Hager and the Nesina Lager, Bidin is from the word Badoi. Badoi means someone who's a faker. So Vishoel Bibidin means that you're consulting with fakers. Right? Not fakers, F-A-K-I-R-S, although that's probably also true, but fakers, F-A-K-E-R-S, right? In this case, they're both synonymous with one another. Right? The it's a very interesting translation. The Targum Onkelos defines the word ov, a ba'al ov, is a faker. V'shal bebid, right? He consults fakers, you know, concerning, you know, this, you know, attempting, you know, to communicate with the dead. We know there's a big machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether magic actually works. And, you know, certainly the Torah makes ample references to magic. And with regard to the Ov itself, there's a famous story in Sefer Shmuel, how after Shmuel HaNovi passes away, so Shaul HaMelech is all beside himself with fear and terror. They're going to fight against the Plishtim the next day. He doesn't quite know what to do. So in the middle of the night, you know, he goes to the town of Eindor and consults with a Balas Ov, a woman who claims to have this ability to connect to the dead, and the woman calls up the spirit of Shmuel HaNovi. So did that actually happen, or that was the woman, you know, a very talented individual who's able to fake, you know, as if she called up Shmuel HaNovi before Shaul HaMelech? What's that?
Wasn't exactly
no, no, you know, you but even very smart people could be fooled, you know.
He wanted to see.
He, yeah, right, you know. So, the simple pshat in Chazal seemed to assume that it was real. Most Rishonim assumed that it was real, that she was able to call up, you know, the spirit of Shmuel HaNovi. The Rambam, who's very dismissive of all of these sort of things, says it was a fake out. You know, she didn't really call up Shmuel HaNovi. It was a fake out. She was very good. You know, she managed to hoodwink even Shaul HaMelech. The impression you get from this Targum Onkelos is that he agrees with the Rambam, right? V'shal bebidin. In other words, the very name, the very translation of Ov in the Torah is a faker. You know, somebody who's pretending to be able to communicate with the dead, but is not actually able to pull it off. That's striking in its own right. But then the translation of Yid'oni, the Targum Onkelos writes, Uzechuru. Yid'oni is, Yid'oni, one of these other kinds of people who communicates with the dead, is Zechuru. So what's Zechuru? So the Mefarshim write that there is another Gemara there in Sanhedrin, again, Samech Hei Omid Beis, which makes reference to a ma'ale b'zechura, someone who is able to call up the dead b'zechura. What is zechura? So Rashi over there in Sanhedrin, Samechei Omid Beis, writes that he's ma'ale u'moshev es hames al zachruso. He calls up the spirit of the dead person through the genitalia of the person who has this ability to communicate with the dead. One of the Mefarshim on the Gemara points out that it sounds like a sort of weird thing. In other words, I guess the whole thing is weird, right? And as you call up the spirit of the dead person, and the dead person is going to appear out of the genitalia of the person who is, you know, supposedly calling up the dead. Seems a little strange. Right, one of the Mefarshim on the Gemara points out that the Gemara, in a different context, says that Bilam got nevuah through that particular part of his body. Right, so in other words, the implication seems to be either that, you know, these people connect to the koach hatuma, which has a particular connection to that part of the person's body, of the male's body, or perhaps, you know, in a, you know, less tumadic kind of way, one can say, look, I mean, that part of the body is responsible for birth and procreation in a natural sense, so maybe that part of the body should be responsible for birth and procreation in a spiritual, supernatural kind of sense. So that's, they say, the word zechuro that Onkelos uses over here is related to zachrus, in other words, masculinity. And Onkelos is saying that the Yid'oni is able to access the dead person through his masculinity, right? As per the Gemara, Malib is Zachrusa. The only problem that we run into is as follows, and here comes the Mizrahi, Veliyahu Mizrahi, one of the well-known commentators on Rashi,
And he asked the following kasha. So if you look in the Gemara, when the Gemara talks about, uses this phrase of mala bezachruso, the Gemara says that the one who's malu bezechuro is a ba'al ov. Right? Here the Torah talks about ov and yidoni. So when the Gemara talks about malu bezechuro, it uses that in explaining the ba'al ov. Tanur Rabbanan is about a third of the way down, Samech Hamud Beis. Ba'al ov, when it comes to a ba'al ov, echad a malu bezechuro, echad a nishal begulgolus. You know, Baal Ov includes one who is Malib b'zachuro, as well as one who is Nishal b'gugolas, who consults a skull, right? Which apparently was a practice also in order to get in touch with the dead person. So asks Rabbi Leo Mizrahi, how can the Targum Unkelus relate Malib b'zachuro to the word Yidoni? The Gemara relates it to the word Ov. He doesn't have a teretz for the Targum Unkelus, right? In his words,
there's always a woman in the story of Shmuel,
right? But you don't have to be a. In other words, that's one way of being a Baal Ov, right? And the Gemara says you could be Malib b'zechuro, you could be Shol Nishal b'gugolus, right? Right, so in other words, maybe you're saying he's mixing and matching. Vishal b'be'idin u'zechuro. In other words, you know, you're consulting a faker who makes use of his Eivor HaZachrus.
I mean, I'm not sure why you need two words. In other words, once the first thing is Zachrus,
right, so apparently, it's not, you know, for whatever reason, the Torah doesn't just say, anyone who consults with the dead, you know, it's an Isser. Certain specific things are laid out, you know, that this type of consultation is a problem. This type of consultation is a problem. The Mizrahi writes that Unkul Shatir Game Yidoni Zechuro, Eini Yodeya Heichan Motza, says the Mizrahi, I don't know where he got this from. It seems to go against the Gemara. So what's your source if it's going against the Gemara? So in response, there's a fascinating one-liner from the Maharsha on this Gemara in Samechei Omid Beis, which is illustrative not only over here, but it gives us, I think, as we're coming to the end of the year, you know, learning about the Targumim, this one line in the Maharsha, I think, is incredibly, incredibly important. Writes the Maharsha there, U'mashikasa v'rav eloyo mizrachi sham ve'unkel ashtir gem yidon izzechuro en yodeh heichon matza. The Mizrahi wrote, I don't know where he got this from. Lo havelei litzmoa al unkelus. I don't understand why the Mizrahi is, you know, perturbed, says the Maharsha. Heichan matza zeh? Shehu hayotana. The Targum Unkelus, who's Unkelus? We learned in the very beginning of our learning of Targum Unkelus, was a Talmud of Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Yoshua. In other words, he's a Tana. So what do you mean it goes against the Gemara? So he's a Tana. He's entitled to go against the Gemara. What's the problem? So the Unkelus disagrees with the Gemara's interpretation? So it says, right, you know, says the Maharsha. I don't understand the Mizrahi. So what you have over here is a fascinating machlokas between the Mizrahi and the Maharsha about what exactly is the status of Unkelus. I mean, obviously the Mizrahi did not hold Unkelus to be a Tana. Just because you live in the time of the Tanoim, and just because you learn by Tanoim, doesn't make you a Tana. Right? I mean, there are plenty of people who learn by Chashav HaRebeim. You know, you can learn by a Gadol Hador, but it doesn't make you a Gadol Hador automatically, right? In other words, it's not doesn't automatically pass off onto you. It makes you a Talmud of the Gadol Hador. But, you know, apparently the Mizrahi holds that Unkelus was a translator, he was a conduit. Okay, so he learned by very Chashav HaTanoim, by very Chashav HaRebeim. Fine, but that's the extent of it. You see, the Maharsha explicitly says, no, he wasn't just
it wasn't just a copyist. You know, he wasn't just saying over, you know, stuff that he had learned from Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Yoshua. He was a Bar Plukta. He was a Tana in his own right. So you find that there's a Targum Unculus that goes against the Gemara? No, what's the Kasha? It's fine. You know, he's entitled to go against the Gemara. You know, the same way we don't say, how could Rebbe Meir argue in Rebbe Yehuda? So you can't say, how could the Targum Unculus argue on a Braisa of the Gemara in Sanhedrin? That's his
why
right to do that. What's that? Okay, but that's not always a kasha either, because you know you find certain shittas in Tanoim that were in Mishnah, that aren't in Mishnayos but are in Braisos, are in Tosefta's, or in Yerushalmi's. You know, in other words, you know, you can, there's a whole corpus of different shittas. Okay, so it's a shita that didn't make it into the Gemara. Fine, but he's still a Tana.
But he's not,
you know,
mentioned in the Gemara.
He is mentioned in the Gemara, but in other words, not in this context. In other words, it's not like, you know, Reb Meir says this and Unculus says that. You know, it's not brought like that. Okay, but so what? Now, that's basically the Mashal would say, but that's not indicative of anything. He's a Tana. He has the right to his own opinion. So that position of the Mashal sheds tremendous light on all of Targum Unculus. In other words, whenever we find something that seems to be a contradiction between the Targum Unculus and the Gemara, it seems like the Mashal is saying, okay, we're not so bothered by that. I mean, we may not paskin like a Targum Unculus, but certainly as a Tana, he has the right, the eminent right, to be able to argue on his own.
Could it be that he had the Masoret of the Tanaim?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right. In other words, he wasn't a Tana in a vacuum, yeah. Right? But either way, the Masho's point still stands. In other words, either he's a bridge to the earlier Tanaim, but the Masho's is stronger than that. The Masho says, who are you, Tana? That's the Lashon of the Masho. So that's an extraordinary Masho, I think, just in terms of giving us a perspective as to the Targum Unculus and what, you know, how we're supposed to view him, you know, vis-a-vis a lot of these other Ma'amari Chazam. Okay, Reb Chanan ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lezakos, Yisrael, Lefikach,